And then we will also have a visit from a gentleman, Mr. Lloyd Bonafide. He is a retired heating and plumbing executive who has a really heartrending tale, because he and his wife, who are on, as he told me repeatedly when I talked to him earlier on the phone, he and his wife are on a fixed income, and he invested in a company that has gone belly up. And he's going to talk with us about this. Our number here on the Phil Hendry Show is 1-800-449-8686, and our email address is phs@philhendryshow.com. Kind of going through a little bit of the email today, and we're getting more and more of these podcast emails. Now, if you go to our website, we provide for something called a podcast. It's an automatic download to your iPod of our show. But because it strips the music out due to music royalty paying considerations, we don't want to pay royalties on music. For instance, the David Hall appearance on our program. But can you get David on the line? And when you get him on the line, tell him I'm going to play his music, okay?
You want me to call Mr. Hall?
Yes, like you do all the time.
All right, I'm just going to be mad.
He's always freaking calling up and bugging me, and I may get him on the phone.
All right.
So what we're going to do...
Come on, Mr. Hall?
What we're going to do is... I'd like to demonstrate...
Yeah, it's Bud. Phil wants you on the show.
Can you be shut up for a minute? I want to demonstrate...
Yeah, right now. Oh, yeah? You're in a hot tub?
Will you just put him on the air, all right?
Here he is.
So now, that's exactly what's going to happen, because the music stripped out. This is from Aaron, who writes, "These podcasts suck on ice. I get nothing from Premier and their hooligans when I ask them about this mess. Please, for the love of Jesus, can I please get what I sought when I ponied up $6.95? This podcast stuff could use a bit of work. Do you savvy, deuce, Aaron, wacky disc jockey?" Here is one from Keith. "Phil, please bring back the character of Brad from Brad's Xmas Brownie from December 24th of 2003. He has the coolest sounding voice. I laughed my ass off when I heard it. Can you play this on the air? Or even better, can you do a new skit with Brad in it? God, his voice is even funnier than Dickman's. Dear Phil, sorry to bitch about..."
That didn't have anything to do with a podcast.
No, but I wanted to throw it in because it insulted you. "Dear Phil... Sorry to bitch about the podcast, but it blows. The absence of David G. Hall due to his intro-outro music sucks. Don't get me wrong. The Star Wars music is a stroke of genius." So on and on it goes. Now, I've been promised this is going to get solved, and solved it will be. Here's one from another guy who says, "Phil, what the hell happened to David Hall's Star Wars music when he calls up to yell at you? That music's perfect. Of course, what the hell do I know about doing a radio show? Ryan Putman has spoken out." So there it is, and then I've got the usual emails from women after last night's announcement that, very regrettably, Marie and I are going our separate ways. Naturally, I got a flood of email, and this one from Lindsay. Lindsay, thank you very much for your 900 emails a day. It's getting a little scary. I know you're a very nice girl, or are you a girl? The name Lindsay can be a guy's. Yeah. "Hi, Phil. Well, if you really are going to be available, I have a free plane ticket and lots of free Disney passes and could..." Well, you do have 86 female fans, you know. "I tried to send this already, but I think it failed to go through. If you got it twice, well, that's fine, because I want to be sure you get this email. I get to listen live tonight. Yes. If you'd like to get lost at the Cirque du Soleil, let me know, all right? I sure would like to get to know me. I sure would like you to get to know me and my great family. Just feel free to write anytime. You certainly aren't alone in all this. And your free passes to Disney World are here. We also get discount cruise rates at $265 to the Bahamas if you need to get away. I've never gone on a cruise in my life. Have you? Maybe you could do a broadcast live from there. Lindsay. Phil, will you do the puppet tonight? Thanks, Lindsay."
What's he mean, do the puppet?
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, say you do the puppet.
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, what does she mean?
The puppet, Frodo the puppet. What are you trying to say?
She's going to do it.
That's right, bud. I'm going to have sex with a puppet. What a freak. Thanks a lot, Lindsay. You're very sweet, hon. Jake writes, are you planning the top 100 calls of the year? No, Jake, we're not. This has just been the most brutal 6 months of my life. And I'm sorry, brother, I didn't even get it together to do our top 100 calls of the year. Now, we've been doing our top 100 calls of the year on the 4th of July weekend. I think just about every 4th of July except this one. So would you please accept this apology? It's been an unusual year. It's been a very, very difficult six-month period for me. I haven't been able to get my mind on a lot of things that I should have gotten my mind on. But I tell you what we'll do is we will plan it for Labor Day weekend, because we usually repeated the top 100 calls on Labor Day anyway. And that's from Jake. Thanks, Jake. 1-800-449-8686. So Lloyd Bonafide is coming up in a moment, and we also have our flashback request. And we're also going to be talking with Austin Amarca tonight with a cure for jet lag, as well as apparently we're going to get a guy in who is going to do a 4th of July stunt where he's just going to shove a whole lot of firecrackers in his mouth and light them. Well, that's great. And then according to this press release, Mark Alderetti stuffs firecrackers in his mouth, lights them, and then it's cool to see what his face looks like afterwards. Yeah, okay, man. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil, I heard you announce that that your marriage is over, and I want to tell you, I feel so bad for you, and I just wanted to call you and tell you how sorry I am.
Well, I've gotten a lot of nice emails from people, you know.
And I wanted to leave you with a song. You know that I used to sing, and I can never resist doing a song.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what does that mean, yeah?
No, I mean, yes, of course.
You know, Phil, I sang professionally.
Yes, I know, and I'd like to hear you sing. What do you want to sing?
Well, there's a song by Christina Aguilera called Genie in the Bottle, and I'm just going to do the chorus. I'm a genie in the bottle, baby. Come, 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 let me out. Now, I...
Get out of here. All right, it's time now for our flashback request. Where's the letter, brother? Oh, here it is. No, you got it. Okay, Clinton's got it. Here it is, man. This is from Caden in Oceanside, Cali. And Caden writes, Semperfi. Hey, Phil, I don't remember much of this, but I know it ranks up there with my top five. Vernon Dozier is on talking about the hurricanes in Florida last year. Could you play this bit again? How is it that we're able to figure out which flashback that one is? Now, there's a lot of stuff blacked. You don't see these emails. They black out a lot of stuff, almost as if the Freedom of Information Act is in effect when it comes to these emails. It simply says, hey, Phil, I don't remember much of this one, but it's Vernon Dozier talking about the hurricanes in Florida last year. Well, it's from Caden in Oceanside, California. Here it is, Vernon Dozier.
Hi, I'm from Florida. Lived there all my life.
Yes, ma'am.
There's a two-week or a week window where you can get out of town. I am sitting on St. Andreas Fault, mister. And as I sit here, the ceiling can cave in on me, and I'm dead.
Wait a minute.
I
thought you said you were in Florida.
Tornado.
You were in Florida?
I came from Florida.
No, you said a minute ago you were in Florida. There's no San Andreas.
I have been through every hurricane imaginable. Well, you don't know what you're talking about.
I want
about.
To point out, she thinks she is a San Andreas Fault runs through Florida, and it doesn't.
San Andreas Fault runs underneath me. I live in Palm Springs,
ma'am,
buddy.
Said,
I just
no,
moved
she
to California.
She moved to California.
From where?
Florida. Melbourne, Florida, that was hit.
First of all, you mentioned
Florida
something.
All my life.
You mentioned something about tornadoes. We
yeah.
don't have tornadoes in California.
Oh, no, but they've got them in Oklahoma, so let's not play the football teams in Oklahoma. And then we have St. Helens that's erupting in Washington State. Let's not let our team go to Washington State.
We've had one volcano erupt in like a million years, and you're going, oh, God, I'm talking about hurricanes.
You don't know what you're talking about. You're not from there. I am, buddy.
Lady, I come from the South, and I can tell you.
You come from the South? I come from Florida.
Yeah, well, that's the South.
Now, where are you in the South?
I come from Charlotte, North Carolina originally.
Hello.
All right, so I know all about hurricanes.
Oh, sure. You know what?
Yeah.
How long have you been here?
I wasn't sitting on the beach
how
with the police coming.
How long have you been here?
The police come and get you and
how
put
long
you away
have you
in a senior
here?
Center so you can sit there and eat pablum, okay? I've got
you know,
to go out with all the grown-ups.
You need to retire
and,
because
no,
if you
think...
ever put a cigarette butt in what my kid's hand, I do the same thing to you.
Do what?
Do what?
All
what
I
right
did...
do you have to abuse a child
what
like
right
that?
What right did you have to raise your family in Florida where a kid could get severed?
You don't know what you're... You know something?
Wait a minute,
you
I
need
jump
a psychiatrist,
in. Virginia, buddy. Virginia, this is Phil Henry. I want to jump in. Did you raise a family in Florida?
Absolutely.
Okay,
I've got one son and two daughters.
Okay.
See, right there, abuse. And I'm talking about the kind where a boy could go out. She's laughing at the fact that a kid could die in a hurricane. She thinks that's
a
funny.
A kid could
die in an earthquake too, mister. We get earthquakes like every 3 years, okay?
Oh, yeah?
You guys had four hurricanes.
And I'm saying, as long as I've lived, I was born there.
Good to put a kid through a hurricane because it toughens him
up.
We got a lot of candy asses out here.
You know, you need to retire.
Right. Let me jump in, Virginia. You're fighting fire. I agree with Virginia.
Every time she thinks about a hurricane killing a kid, she thinks that's funny. What I'm trying to say is motivating young people to do their very best. It's something that I know about.
You have to use brute force to do that.
What are your kids doing now, Virginia?
My one daughter is a psychiatrist. The other one's an interior designer, and my son owns a flooring company.
All college graduates. Right, you're not talking to the old biddies around the pool now. You're talking to Vernon. What do your kids really do? What do your kids really do?
I just told you.
I said I'm not one of the old biddies around the pool. You lie to them.
What are you talking about?
What do you mean?
You have a bolt loose.
Old people lie about what their kids do to
other
old people.
You know, you're sick.
I'm sick?
You need to call my daughter. She's a shrink. She could really do a number on you.
She's a shrink, or
yeah,
is she just one
Los
of those nurses
Angeles.
That holds the keys?
She's in Los Angeles.
What's her name?
Alex.
No! Don't tell. Don't. I don't want any names given.
Okay.
Yeah, we want to protect.
Oh, see, you don't want her name because you want to protect her, but me, I got to sit here and eat sawdust.
Well, who told you to call on the phone?
I'm the guest on the show.
Well, get off.
You're not the guest.
Get off.
Hey, let me ask you something, Virginia. How many bedpans does your daughter really change every day? Because if she's a psychiatrist...
What are you talking
If she's a psychiatrist,
about?
My name is Vince Lombardi.
Okay, that's it. That's our flashback request. And that is from Vernon Dozier last summer's... That whole slew of hurricanes that hit Florida. I got a little bit of material out of that one. 1-800-449-8686. That's by request. If you have a flashback request, please do email it to us. We forward them all on to Dickman, into the archives he goes and tries to dig them out. And we also have a whole bunch of brand new material on the website. I mentioned we put up, it looked like maybe 15 or 20 new bits. And I think we've got an additional new 15 or 20 bits going back to some pretty early parts of our, when we syndicated the show back in 99, 2000. So, and one of these days we're going to put all of our Miami material together into one CD. All right. Your name is Lloyd, sir. Mr. Bonafide?
Lloyd Bonafide, sir, yes.
All right, sir. Tell me what you were telling Harry on the phone. This business, which you say has taken a considerable amount of your retirement, right?
Yes, sir. And I will tell you, sir, as I'm speaking to you, I have talked with Mel Cardigan and John Hathaway. Both of these men are very esteemed corporate attorneys and have done civil litigation. And
I'm glad you have a lawyer. What was the problem? You invested in what?
Yes, sir. We invested in a company. My son-in-law... I won't even go into our relationships with him, suggested that we invest in a company that he said had a tremendous amount of upside potential called Nether Reaches Shampoo, and my wife and I invested some capital.
All right, now what, Nether Reaches is the name of the shampoo?
Yes, sir.
All right, now, Harry tells me that it's an unusual product, is that right?
Yes, sir, it is, and I want to be a gentleman. The basic idea was, and the son-in-law, this is the guy my daughter married, said that it sounded crazy, but it had a high upside potential.
All right, but Nether Reaches shampoo is what?
It's a shampoo intended for a woman to shampoo a certain area of her body.
All right, sir, I understand.
Okay. Now, I invested initially $10,000. They said there was another $10,000 in 6 months to capitalize the company, and then another $10,000 in order to begin the marketing and promotion.
Okay.
Well, guess what? Now I find out, because of this gentleman that my daughter married, the son-in-law, women are not needing Nether Reaches shampoo, because if you open up any Playboy or any of this sort of nonsense, you can see that they clip it all down, and I'm trying to be a gentleman.
In other words, sir, that there is no need to use Nether Reaches shampoo for the modern woman.
Apparently, and I was not told of this, but apparently my information, the information that I got, is that most women trim it, barber it up. and
barber it up. So, all right, I understand.
Well, whatever term they use,
they use a wax. Have you heard that?
No, sir, I'm not familiar. I am not familiar.
Does your daughter use it?
Excuse me. Excuse me.
I'm sorry, but if your son-in-law.
Well, sir, I would hope to the Christian God that I raised my daughter under that yes, she would use Netherita shampoo, because I can tell you right now, if any daughter of mine clipped it back, I would be. I just.
Well, do you think it's immoral?
I think there's something very improper about a woman who trims it down. And I can tell you also.
All right, look, let's not get into. Is this a moral issue for you?
My son-in-law said there was large upside to Netherita shampoo, and he also said that there was a marketing a tie-in with the fact that Bush is president. And
all right, I understand.
But I didn't understand that. You understand that?
Yes, I do.
What does it mean?
I'm not. Right now, we don't need to talk about that.
Well, my wife is crying herself to sleep at night. And, you know, as a joke, I gave her a bottle of Netherita shampoo for her birthday. And she wept openly. And I said, why? And she said, because of this. And she opened her dressing gown very tastefully, and my own wife had trimmed it back.
Well, why does that upset you?
Because I invested in a company that shampoos it. And my own wife, after 41 years of marriage, and it could have been done when she was a lot younger, if you get my meaning, decides that she's going to go down here to Ventura Boulevard into one of these Vietnamese trim back parlors and have the whole thing butched up. Well, mister, I'll tell you right now, it made me want to just...
Sir, you're not...
No, I just... Never mind. Just never mind.
I will tell you that if you have an agreement to get your money back...
Well, you know what? Knowing this son-in-law of mine, he's probably down in Brazil. And guess what? You know what they do down in Brazil, don't you? They got a thing called the Brazilian wax, which I'm not familiar. But when my wife pulled her open her dressing gown and said, get a load of this, I thought I was going to either flip or fall in it. And she said, Brazilian wax. And that's when everything went black. So I'm...
Hang on the line. Bud, can you get his number?
Yeah, Mr. Bonfire, I'll get your number for the consumer hotline.
What's that?
What do you mean, what's that?
What was it?
What do you mean, what's that?
It's our intern, Bud Dickman.
Dick who?
Bud Dickman.
What are you laughing about?
I just thought it was funny. We said, what's that?
Hey, Mr. Bonfire, I'm Bud Dickman. You tell me where your wife cue-balled it, and we can... Will you shut up?
What's he mean by cue-balling it?
It's nothing.
I demand to know, what does he mean?
It's nothing at all. Don't worry.
Because if that's some kind of a reference to Netherita shampoo...
No, sir, it's not.
You said your wife cue-balled it.
I did say... If he's saying what I think he's saying, I'll come down there, and I will leave him where I find him.
Hold on, man. Just get this guy calmed down. Don't make him angry.
I do.
Hey, man, give me the name of the place where your wife cue-balled it.
I just want to know where she slicked it up.
Slicked it up, huh? Freaking guy invested in a company called Netherita Shampoo. I don't even know why the hell it is I'm talking to the guy. Tony is a television producer and also involved intimately in the Live 8 concert, and he's going to be on the line. In fact, Tony, you there?
I'm right here, Phil, looking at least some of the video from the Oz Festival. Which was, not the US Festival, the USA for Africa Festival. The US Festival, that was something else entirely, wasn't it?
The US Festival was, good God, that's over 20 years ago, man. That was like out at Ontario and some of those places, right?
Well, Live 8 will be unlike anything we've ever seen. And I'm actually looking at some of the video from, this is a video from one of the concerts they had in Hyde Park, London, for South Africa, Liberation of South Africa, before the Liberation of South Africa. A galaxy of rock stars filled with great stages across the globe on Saturday for what's being billed as the greatest music show ever. in a bid to put pressure on world leaders to do more to help the poor. Live 8, an expanded version of the Live 8 sensation 20 years ago, will take place in 10 cities and 4 continents, including here in the United States, Phil, in Philadelphia and I think New York.
Now, the question and one of the controversies was why there were no big-name black artists on the bill.
I've got an answer for that, and some of the producers here in the United States got with Bob Geldof, huddled with him behind closed doors for up to 4 hours last week, and their complaint, and Geldof said that he wants to look at it, he wants to address it, but their complaint is primarily this. If they have a lot of black artists on the bill, and you have a pretty high concentration of African people watching, what is the probability a lot of them are going to get it into their heads that they can come to America and be rock stars? And that was one of the things.
Well, isn't that, what do you mean, to get it into their heads?
Well, you've got a lot of black artists. First of all, the benefit is for blacks in Africa. If you put a lot of black artists on the bill, now those blacks down in Africa are going to look at that, and they're going to say, oh, I'm going to go to America, and I'm going to be a rock star, too. And that's just insanity. And so you...
Well, that sounds rather racially driven.
No, it's not racially driven. Why do you got to go there? Why do you have to go there?
No, it just does. I mean, so what if they want to come to America? Isn't that what the whole... as long as the immigration laws are being observed, so what?
So you want more of them, not less. Is that...
More of what? Immigrants?
More of them. Phil, I'm sorry, but I...
More of who? Blacks?
You know what I'm talking about. You want more of them here?
Get out of here! Is that one of your friends, bud?
I agree with him.
You agree with what?
We don't need more of them.
More black people, is that it?
Now you're making me sound like a racist.
You are a freaking racist. You know... What? Get him back on the phone. What?
Look, Phil, we're trying to erase the debt of the African people. We don't want one of them coming up here banging on a pot. And I...
Okay, that's it.
Why'd you hang up on him? All he says, we don't need more. I'm not saying we get rid of the ones we got.
These are American citizens, bud. How long have I had to tell you? African Americans in this country, their roots go back further than most white people in this country. Do you understand that? Further. Like the black people in the South, they have deeper roots in the South than all those whiteys down there who claim that they're Southerners, right?
Yeah.
So what are you talking about? I want to talk about more of them.
There's nothing wrong with it. I just said, why import more if you don't need to?
Jesus! Banging on a pot.
They'll be coming up here and they're all going to think they can be Smokey Robinson.
That's right, man. They're all going to think they'd be Smokey freaking Robinson. Man, where are you coming from?
They want to replace Luther Vandross. He just died.
Yeah, that's it. We need another one of him, too. There was only one Luther Vandross. Fortunately. No, I'm very sorry to hear the tragic news. If I heard him sing the national anthem at a Laker game once, I heard it 100 times, and it was always great. All right, 1-800-449-86. I don't even know why I'm letting you in on this thing. Yeah, there won't be any black artists at the Live 8 show because we don't want any Africans getting ideas they can come here and be rock stars.
We already got enough.
We already got enough blacks. Thanks very much, bud, for you, butting in on that one. 1-800-449-8686. Live 8 tomorrow, by the way. They estimate 1.5, actually they estimate 2 billion people watching. They estimated 1.5 billion watched the whole Live Aid show in 1985. I remember, well, I was there at the Coliseum for one of those shows. Now, I don't know, when they say the Live Aid show, no, wait, I know what I was at. I was at Amnesty International. I can't get any of these shows straight anymore. I went to the Amnesty International show in 88. Live Aid was in 85. Then we had USA for Africa in 85, and we had Bangladesh in 71. And you want to know something? All of those places are still toilet bowls. Thank you, and just shows you the power in music, doesn't it? Hey, man, I hate to give you the newsflash. There ain't no power in music, obviously. And then what else? Oh, yeah. Anybody remember the nuclear whole, the whole no nukes thing, like in the late 70s? Yeah, that really cleaned everything up, too, didn't it? I ain't heard diddly squat about nuclear power anymore, do you? There was a guy named John Hall. He used to be in a group called Orleans. Horrible band. Horrible, horrible music. They did a song called Still the One. And every time I hear it, I have the need to break into someone's home and lie in wait. I bet you they thought that they were all flower powery with that tune. Well, guess what, pal? It made me want to kill. Now how do you feel about your song? Do you ever hear that song? Still the one that I can really beat. Still the one. Something about meat. And anyway, so this song is on, and every time I'd hear it, I'd want to lurk in an alley and mug someone. I'd want to go mug myself. And I bet you cats that wrote that song thought it was all sending out the good vibes, huh? Well, guess what? I garroted a man with piano wire one night right after I heard it. Thank you. All right. Good job with that song. So anyway, then that cat went on and he joined Bonnie Raitt, who I love. And boy, she gets involved with some screwy people. Hey, baby, just play the guitar and sing those great songs and get out of here with your whole no nukes. Get out of here, will you? Keep your face out of the tabloids. Just make that great music. So she got into that, and then it was the whole no-nukes thing. The world was coming to a freaking end, man, in 1979. Well, guess what? We still got that damn San Onofre sitting down there, looking like two big watermelons. What else do we have? Yeah, Bangladesh. That was the one that George Harrison did for, well, Bangladesh. And as far as I know, they still don't have flushing toilets over there. What are we talking about? Then didn't they have a benefit for Biafra? Remember Biafra? They weren't eating good down there either. Biafra. Not B. Arthur. B. At, but I'm going to kick your ass.
I thought you said B. Arthur.
Yeah, they're starving in B. Arthur. And then on and on and on and on and on. If I think of anything more. But I went to the Amnesty International show. This has got nothing to do now with Live 8. But I remember the Amnesty International show was fantastic. I saw Peter Gabriel. That show was, that right there was worth the price of admission. That was when he came out with that whole Sledgehammer album. And then I saw at the same gig, Springsteen. I mean, it was a great show. It was at the Coliseum, and I got up on the top of the press box for it, and then I wandered down, because I had one of those all-purpose press passes. And then I woke up, and I was in handcuffs. It's just one of those things. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Must have been the time that you did, Harry. I was talking to Harry, and he interviewed Chuck Negron, who is was one of the singers in a group called Three Dog Night, and he made a very candid observation to Harry. He said he hated the music that they did. And it brought to mind songs that make you want to reach in and pull one of your own teeth. In other words, the pain is so bad that other pain will lessen the pain you feel from the song, right? Like, when I used to hear this song, as a kid, I'd want to reach up and just pull a molar out with a wrench or with a pliers, because I figured the excruciating pain that would be caused by that would actually be less of the pain that I was feeling from the song, and so it would cancel it out. So I always drove around with a pair of pliers in my car, just in case I heard that song that the Three Dog Night did, the one that starts out with, Jeremiah was a bullfrog. Yeah, man. There it is. There it is. And my mom's going, what are you doing? I'm getting the pliers. Where are they? Because I want the pliers. I need the pliers, Mom. Jeremiah, what? Just like I was joking a few years back about that Righteous Brothers song. Oh, will you stop it? Hey, we got a song. It's from Ghost. You remember this one, ladies? You remember when he was a ghost and protected her? You know, he kicked the ass on that gangbanger and everything, and it was real cool when the thing came down, and get out of here. All right, so no wonder the guy became a heroin addict is really the point that I'm trying to make here. You know, the cat just became a junkie because he's listening to that music he was making, and he's saying, did I actually sing that? Yes. Okay, well, I gotta go now. I've gotta get down, see if there's any black tar available, because I've gotta numb the pain. If I can't listen to that, man, I gotta numb the pain. I don't know why I'm getting into that, but it was just the fact that when I heard that song, I wanted to pull my teeth. I wanted to yank an eyeball out. Music's way better now. Don't let anybody ever tell you that it was better then. It's better now. There was a few bands back then were good. Music today, way better. Way better. You take the average Linkin Park song, better than Led Zeppelin. Well, not better, but as good. And that's all I got to say about that. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show. The web address is www.philhenryshow.com. When you visit our website, all you have to do is join up for a backstage pass. You have access to all of our archive material. Now, these archives, these are bits from our show that go back long before we ever met. Long before. I mean, in other words, I got things there that are just fantastic. We have archive material going back to, like, the early 90s from when we were in Minneapolis. I'll give you an example here. We also have a 30-day archive. So what you can do is listen to any show over the last 30 days, a full three-hour show. And on top of that, like I said, all of the other smaller bits, which, you know what, as I look at this website, I can't figure out how to find our short-form bits. Now, on the website is this little announcement. Recent court rulings have made clear that music of almost any kind cannot be included in podcasts, since unlike streams, podcasts are a physical copy of the audio, and music is not licensed for this use. We regret that this means podcasts must be edited to remove all such music, including bumper music that leads out of commercial breaks, and any music content in the show. On occasion, this may result in rougher-than-usual edits, and rougher-than-usual? You ought to read my mail! In order to follow the law, we're working on technical solutions to eliminate this music without the need of such editing, and we ask your patience until that's in place. As always, all streams of the show, including those delivered on demand, do include all show content, including music. Why don't you guys do this? Kiss off the podcast. Give it up until we fix it. Just start recording the streams. I know it doesn't, you know, you got to be around for it, but what can I tell you? All right, so if you want that and more, just go to our website, www.philhenryshow.com. I thought he was anonymous. He's not. His name's Andy. If I got your name wrong, dude, I lost your email. But thank you. I wanted to play this because this is a five-year-old clip from the year 2000, and it's from March of 2000. But it's interesting, Bud. It's back before you learned how to speak professionally on the radio.
Yeah.
And you and I got into a fist fight. Do you remember that?
Vaguely.
Yeah, you ought to hear. Listen to this. This is back when Bud was just starting out, and he was an utter. You think he's stupid now? Listen to this from March of 2005. Bud and I get into a fist fight over a comment that I made about Britney Spears.
Oh, I don't remember this.
Wait till you hear this.
She doesn't even know who you are, you freaking retard. And speaking of head injuries, man, what about the steel plate in your head?
She had head injuries. She not treat head injury people bad.
Yeah, you and Britney, man, you're two peas in a pod. You with your caved-in head and her with her silicone breasts. You cats belong together. I didn't say nothing bad about her, okay? Man.
That's an Ojai commemorative plate would be my head.
The what?
That Ojai commemorative plate would be my head.
The Ojai commemorative plate, what be your head? That's when you went through that tree in Ojai, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I get it. So you got a plate in your head. So it's the... You know what? I had to kick your rear end around the block for drill for what you did to me. You almost strangled me to death.
That's right. You want a piece of me?
What?
You want a piece of me again?
Come at me.
Remember that, Bud?
No.